and welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. We had 25 in Sunday school today, so I want to encourage everyone, if you're not part of our Sunday school program, please come and try it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. We have classes for all ages, and we have a good time of fellowship, but most of all, we have a good time of discussing and learning more about God's Word at Sunday school. So I'd like to encourage you to come and join us for that. Don't forget these dates, July the 23rd at 6:30 p.m. That's this coming Tuesday, the Titus II Women's Ministry meeting here at the church. July the 25th at 7 p.m., Standing in the Gap Men's Meeting here at the church. So don't forget Sunday, July the 28th, is Back to School Fellowship Meal. We're having tacos, and that'll be after the evening services. And there's a sign-up sheet on the table there as you enter the sanctuary for items or things that you can help with the meal. If you can bring or sign up for those, we would appreciate that. Wednesday, July the 31st at 7 p.m., we'll meet at Wiggins School for the prayer walk. That'll be our prayer service for that Wednesday night. So please mark your calendar for that. We really would like a good turnout there if you can make it. My only suggestion is to bring a gnat spray. I'll have some if not. I'm just teasing. But it is July, y'all. And I know that's August, but it's like July and August, so, I've been a hush. And I assure you that they'll have the grass mowed by then there. And every time I mow grass, I don't know what it does, but the gnats just come out in droves after I mow. So, but please meet us there at 7 o'clock on July 31st. Sunday, August the 4th, is Bring a Friend to Sunday School. That's our high attendance Sunday school day. So invite someone, and hopefully you can bring them that day. And we are looking for a real good Sunday school attendance that day. August the 4th, the school supplies for Wiggins School are due. You see here, I put it in the bulletin, the items that we need. I believe there's a tote somewhere. It's in the back there. If you can help with those items, just bring them and put them in the tote, and we'll get them delivered August the 5th or whenever. A lot of announcements. Any other announcements, y'all? Yes, ma'am.
I want to let everybody know that Kevin's found out well. We will get results in
September-ish
somehow, if not sooner.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Birthdays. Any birthdays? If not, in our prayer, we want to continue to remember Kevin and Ashley, of course, Kevin with the recent spinal tap and all. And also a lady that works at the nursing home. Her first name is Sandra. She's been diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer. So we'll try to get her last name, but she's an employee at the nursing home, so we need to remember her also in our prayers. Remember the Benny Motley family today. Many of y'all knew Mr. Benny. He passed away, I believe, Thursday or Friday, I can't remember. But remember his family, if you would. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here today, Lord, to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, as always, we just want to open our prayer up with just giving you the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord, and just thank you for the way that you have blessed each family here, Lord, and continue to bless the family, but also continue to bless your church here, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we will always just seek out. We'll talk about, Tim's been preaching about wisdom and all. We'll hear more about that, Lord. We'll seek out your wisdom, Lord, and your will and how to handle situations and do things, Lord. But, Lord, we do just want to lift up the ones that were mentioned today, Lord, Kevin and Ashley and Sandra, Lord. We want to lift them up to you today, Lord. And Lord, we just want to lift up the family of Brother Benny to you today, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them in the loss of their father and grandfather and uncle and all, Lord. And just be with that family and guide and comfort them. Lord, we just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come, Lord, and Lord, if they are distractions that are maybe trying to distract us this morning, Lord, we know that comes from the devil, Lord. It comes from Satan, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we'll put all the distractions and worldly things that are going on out of our mind today, Lord, and just focus on one thing and one thing only, and that's to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
If you can this morning, please stand as we sing In His Time.
Sunlight of his love that all my love is free. Sunlight, sunlight.
16, trust and obey. This will be our offertory. Sing all three verses. Trust me, try me, prove me. It would, yeah, I would.
So we're not doing that. Which one are we
doing? Do 6:16.
The one I'll play.
I think that's what was in there. But hey, we're not going to let the devil have us. We're going to keep praising the Lord. We're going to keep moving on.
Which one
are we
doing? Trust in God.
I think it was. Yes, that's the one that's supposed to be. But I was going to sing what Miss Sissy was playing, but I didn't want to get in trouble. No, 6:16, if you're looking in the hymnal. Trust, try, and prove me.
Thank you. Sissy. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I pray that you've had a good week. Looking forward to the week ahead. As I was preparing for the sermon today, I kind of found myself at a loss for words and knowing how to address this subject. And I know y'all can hardly believe that I'm at a loss for words, right? As a parent, well, let me just tell you what the subject is this morning. The subject is wisdom in raising children. And I know that you're going to tell me, well, my kids are grown, so it don't have nothing to do with me. Well, if your kids are grown, next thing you're going to have is what? And then after that, what comes along? So you've always got a job to do. Your job never ends once you become a parent. Your job is just, it just goes on and on and on and on. So you never retire from being a parent, amen, until the good Lord carries you home. I want you to know that as a parent, as a father, I have not been perfect. And I know y'all can't believe that either, right? I have not been perfect. I have not always made the best decisions or the wisest decisions. So as I preach this morning, I hope you'll hear the message from that point of view. I don't have everything figured out, okay? I'm like you. I'm a father. I've got a granddaughter, and so I'm still learning, right? Because what works with one kid, guess what? It don't work with others. If you've got more than one, you realize that. And so trying to raise children to be godly, to love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, and with all their soul is our top priority. It's not your job to make sure that your kid makes the football team, the baseball team, the cheerleading squad, or the soccer team, or whatever other kind of team is out there. Your greatest responsibility is, as a parent, is to make sure your kids get on God's team. Amen? Because if you fail in that, you have failed as a parent in every other area. Now, granted, I understand that sometimes we do our very, very best to raise our children to be godly. They grow up in the godly home. The parents who go to church, who read the Bible, who pray together, they do all those things. And then when they get grown and out on their own, guess what? They don't always follow mom and daddy's lead anymore. I want to start out this morning in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. This is what it says. This is God speaking through Malachi. It says, but did he not make them one? In other words, the male and the female, not the male and the male, not the female and the female, right? He made them one, having a remnant of the spirit. And why one? He seeks what? Godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. In other words, here's God's primary goal for us in raising children, and that is to raise godly offspring. But how do we do that? In Psalm 127, verse 3, it tells us, behold, children are a heritage. Now that word heritage can be translated as a blessing or an inheritance, okay? Children are a heritage, a blessing, an inheritance from who? From the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. For all these people who believe in abortion, they've got the wrong idea. Amen? Because right here, the fruit of the womb is a reward. But we have to realize that God's saying our children are a blessing, and a blessing from who? From Him. They are a blessing from God. They are not a curse. They are not a Well, that's a whole nother sermon for a whole nother time. They are a blessing. But I want to tell you, if you're a parent, you already know this, children are a blessing from God, but it doesn't mean they're sinless, right? I was fortunate enough to be in the operating room with Amy for all three of our kids who were born by C-section, and I remember thinking just how perfect they all were. Amen. But it didn't take long to realize they weren't perfect. Amen. The reality sets in, and we realize, hey, that perfect little bundle of joy, they cry, they make a mess, they smell at times, amen. And so there's a lot of issues that go on with raising children, but they are a blessing. Even though my children are not perfect, I still wanted to raise my children, our children, to hear the call of God on their lives. To know when God is calling them to salvation, when God is calling them to ministry, to do things that don't make sense, because being a preacher, I don't always make sense, amen? And so I wanted to teach them to know God's call on their life, but not only just to know God's call, but to obey God's call. Because all of us know that God has a call on our life, but not all of us have obeyed God's call. Amen. Come on now, y'all got real quiet there. Can we all, every one of us, absolutely 100% sure say, I am answering God's call on my life today, right now? Or would we have to say, instead of amen, we'd say, oh my. Because we often, we know God's called us to do things, because here's the reality. So, well, you know, I thought one time God was calling me. Romans 11:29, this is not on the screen, this is a rabbit trace, right? Romans 11:29 says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. What does irrevocable mean? It means when God gives you a call, he does not take it back. Amen? Wow. So all those calls you've been hearing throughout your life, have you been answering them, or have you been disobedient to them? We want to train our children, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, if we have them, maybe great-greats. But we want to train them to hear God's call, to answer God's call, to follow God's call in their lives. To do so, we must begin with teaching them how to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Somebody who never likes to be gotten on to, man, they're going to have a rough road in life. Because not all correction is bad. And not all correction, sometimes it's done in the wrong ways. I understand that. But most correction is done for our benefit. We need to understand that fearing God is the first step in knowledge, in knowing who God is and what God wants for us. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. God's word is true. Amen. And as it is true, that means that as a parent, I need to learn what the word of God says. Amen? If I don't know the Word of God, how can I teach the Word of God? Now, I'm not saying you have to be a theologian, but if you're studying God's Word, you're already on the right path to being a theologian, right? Because a theologian is what? A study of who? Of God. You're studying God. You're studying what God wants, And in God's word, you find God's wisdom. And so as you're learning about God, you're learning what is right and what is wrong. And therefore, you can teach your children what is right and what is wrong. But if we don't spend time in the word of God, how can we accurately teach our children? As I learn, as you learn about God's word, that is what we call knowledge. You get the facts. But then I must do what the Word of God says, right? And when I do what the Word of God says, that is wisdom. And when I learn how to use the Word of God in the proper ways, that is understanding. That is being able to apply what God's Word says to my life and then to live it out. Proverbs 22, verse 6. This should be a comfort for all of us who have raised kids who are not currently following God. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, it is your responsibility as a parent to do your very best to train them up in the ways of God. Now, once they get grown and get on their own, guess what? You are relieved of that duty. To a degree. But you should always be there helping direct your child's life. Now, I don't stick my nose in my kids' business unless it's a drastic need for it. But when they come to me and say, Daddy, I got this going on. What do? I'm not going to tell them to do something the devil wants them to do. I'm going to try my best to instruct them in the ways of God. Here's the thing, it says, and when he is old, or if she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Now understand this, as I've said before, the Proverbs are precepts. They are not promises. Okay? What does that mean? That means that a precept is something that normally happens when you do this. Here are the results. A promise is, when God makes a promise, it's going to be good and take to the bank. But a precept is something where if you do this certain thing, then this is the most logical outcome for that. So what this means is that if we train our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord and the ways he should go, that means that 99% of the time, or 95%, or 75% of the time, your child is going to go on in the ways of the Lord. But I want us to flip the coin over for just a moment. If we don't train our kids to fear the Lord, to walk in the ways of God, then what is the result? The same precept is in reverse. It means that if we're not training them, then we can't expect them to follow God's lead. We can't expect them to follow the ways of God if we are not involved in directing them in their lives. How, I can't remember the word right off the top of my head, but how many of you have been to Disney World? Anybody? Man, almost all y'all. Y'all are Mickey Mouse people, huh? Mickey Mouse clubhouse. As you drive in the gate, you look over to the sides and you see all these trees. And all, are they just trees or do they look a certain way? Y'all remember? They got Dumbo and Mickey Mouse. They got, what are they called, horticulturalists or something, where they go in and they put these cages over these trees and they grow them into these shapes and they look like animals. I don't know if they still got them down there or not. I know about 40 years ago they had them. But my point is this. When they go to shaping those trees, they do a lot of pruning, a lot of cutting. They do a lot of twisting, a lot of bending to shape those trees into the image they want them to be. And you know, that is the same thing that you and I do with our children. We should have a goal. And number one goal is for us to look like Jesus first. And we can't expect our children to look like Jesus if we don't look like him. We want to look like Jesus to our children. But as they're growing, we want to pinch off the stuff or clip off the stuff that's not right. The stuff that's bad, the stuff that's diseased, the stuff that can ruin their lives. We want to trim that off and we want to cut away and take away all the things that are not godly so that in the end they too will look like Christ. That is our goal, to shape them, to mold them, to make them who God desires them to be. How does God treat us? He does the same thing to us. I'm going to share four things quickly this morning, and we're not going to have time to fully cover the fourth point, so tonight, guess what we're going to do? We're going to finish out on how to discipline our children tonight. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. God, first and foremost, when God is training us, he does so through his word. Right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, here's the reality of it. The word of God is going to teach us what God wants us to know. But in order to know what God wants us to know, we got to be what? Reading the word of God. Okay? It's important. Read the word of God. And in his word, he uses it to talk to us. That is through the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. We have those verses in our minds. We read the word of God. We may not totally understand it. That's okay. You're starting on the right path. You know, I don't fully understand it all. I've been preaching for 20 years. So here's the point. It's simply this. As I read the word of God, God's word speaks to me. He talks to me. He's talking to me. And as he's talking to me, he's instructing me. Now, once I give my heart and life to him, and I said, Lord, it's all yours, what does he do? His Holy Spirit comes into me, and the Holy Spirit's job then is to instruct me in the ways I should go. He convicts me of my sins, as we talked about Wednesday night, right? He convicts me of my sins, and then he instructs me in righteousness and in judgment to come. He does all those things through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't wait for me to be a Christian for 50 years before he starts working on me. Right? The moment I put my faith and trust in him, the Holy Spirit comes into my life and he begins a process called what? Sanctification. Right? Sanctification. He transforms me to look like the devil. No, he transforms me to look like him. He instructs me, talks to me, but then he begins to work in my life. He starts early. He starts the moment I am reborn into his kingdom. The third thing he does is he walks with me. We sing the song, he walks with me and talks with me, right? He lives. He lives where? Within my heart. He's walking with me. He's talking with me. He's telling me what's right and what's wrong. He's doing all that. He walks with me. But then, fourthly, as we'll talk about tonight, he also disciplines me. He also disciplines me. So point number one for today, let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 5. This is what it says. It says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, or daughter for you ladies, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he does what? He chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Well, let me just stop right there for a minute and address that issue. If you can keep on sinning and sinning and sinning that you never get rebuked by God, it's because you're not his child. I'm not going to go spank your kid, and you better not come spank mine, amen? You follow what I'm saying? God's not going to discipline somebody who doesn't belong to him. If you're the devil's child, you can keep running as far as you want to and as hard as you want to. But if you belong to God and you sin and you won't repent of that sin, you won't turn away from it, then God surely will discipline you. Let's read on in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, meaning earthly fathers, indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, meaning God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nonetheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by. Point number one, we teach our children through the words we say. Through the words we say. Just as God's word speaks into our lives, we speak into the lives of our children. Now, you can speak words of life or you can speak words of death. Which one is better? Speaking words of life into our children. How do we do that? Look back at Proverbs chapter 4 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 4. This is what Solomon taught his children. He says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine." What does doctrine mean? Teaching, right? "Do not forsake my law." When I was my father's son, who was Solomon's daddy? David, right? When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom and all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall." And y'all know a lot of people like that. "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. You know what Solomon was doing here? He was saying to his son, from his daddy, he was teaching, he was passing down wisdom, he was passing down understanding, he was passing down the right paths to go. Did Solomon always take the right path? No, we know he didn't. But he knew the right path. And if our children don't know the right path, how in the world, Mom and Dad, can we ever get on to them if we were the ones that didn't teach it to them? He taught them by talking to his children. This is a study, and years ago I looked this up. Oh, I don't remember when it was, a long time ago, probably about 10 or 11 years ago. Back then it said, the average father, listen here now, the average father spent 37 seconds a day in meaningful conversation with his son. 37 seconds a day. Now, just chatter, just small talk, for the father about an hour and 45, hour and 50 minutes. For a mama, it's only about 2 hours a day. You have 24 hours. Mom and dad is only spending 2 hours a day speaking to their kids in any kind of conversation. How in the world can we train our children when we won't even talk to them? Can I tell you, this is the problem. Here's your game. Here's the TV. You go in there and sit down. I don't want to hear from you again. How is that teaching our children in the ways of God when the world's got on there all this rainbow stuff? Y'all know what I mean? TV's training the kids. The video games are training the kids. And most of the video games, if you ever look at it, it's all shoot 'em up, kill 'em. And we wonder why there's violence like there is in the United States. I'm not knocking games. We used to have them. Don't anymore. We talk to them. Second, the way we teach our children is we start when they are young. God doesn't wait for us to be saved 20, 30, 40 years before he begins to train us. He begins training us as soon as we are born again. So for us as parents, we need to begin training our children from the time they're born. Amen? I remember working at Sawmill one day, and Shane was about 18 months old. I know he wasn't two yet, but he was sometime around 18 months old, and he's probably about Amelia's age now. Can I tell you, Amelia knows when you tell her no and when you tell her yeah? She knows. Shane knew. But one day, you know, this was back when remotes, we had remotes, but we didn't hardly ever use them, you know. But Shane was over there by the TV, and I'm sitting in my recliner watching TV, and he's over there, and he's fixing to touch the buttons on the TV. And I said, Shane, no. He puts his hand down, he looks back at me, and he turns back to the TV, and he starts to push the button, and I said, Shane, I said, no. He puts his hand down, looks back at me, and he turns back around again, and he puts his finger up there to the TV, and I get up behind him, pop him on the diaper. I didn't hurt him, but he didn't put his hand back up there at that TV again. You say, well, that's really insignificant. If we don't teach them when they're young, and you wait till they're 12, 13, 14 years old, you've already lost the battle. You have lost the battle. It begins early. It begins young when they begin to understand what is right and what is wrong. When you say yes or no and they listen, Because you're instructing them, your child, and I know I've said this before, the first child, the first image your child sees of God is you. See, God's not a fool. God doesn't make mistakes. Why did he give children parents? He expects godly offspring, so he expects you and I to model that example to our children. We are to show them our love, our mercy, our grace, our compassion, but also there's a time when children will not listen, and you have to bring discipline. Because if you don't bring discipline, what eventually happens is you have a child that runs the house, and then you have a child that runs the school system, and then you have a child who tries to run the state or the nation. We teach them when they're young. Proverbs 19 verse 18 says, chasten your son or daughter while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. What does that mean? It means we got to straighten them out when they're young. As I've already said, if you wait till they're older, you've already lost the battle. You can't hardly make up lost ground once you've lost it with a child, because they're just going to get harder and harder, hard-headed, and keep on going the wrong way. But our responsibility as parents is not to destroy them in the process. And again, what does that mean? It means when your child is rebellious, stubborn, doing the wrong thing, going the wrong way, you've got to correct them, but you've got to do it with the right understanding, with the right knowledge, with the right wisdom. Because as often happens, when our children won't do what we want them to do, sometimes mom and dad get upset with them and start calling them names. You've heard it. I've heard it. They call them names. They belittle them. Why can't you be like so-and-so? Why can't you act like this? Can I tell you, no three of my kids, they're not the same. They're not the same. Some of them I had to get on to, hit them on the dock. Others of them, I had to just raise my head and look at them a certain way. They, you know, start crying. Did that about a month or two ago with Amelia. She was throwing food on the floor, and I looked down and said, no, we don't do that, man. She went to boo-boo, and, you know, I just, you know. Here's the reality. We teach our children through the ways we discipline them in their actions, but our purpose, our primary goal is to have our children obey us, right? And when they obey, and this is throughout the whole Bible, when we obey God, he rewards us. You don't reward a kid in Walmart for pitching a fit buying a candy bar. You are teaching the wrong lesson, amen? You don't do that. Obedience, reward. Disobedience, there is a price to pay. Discipline. When we follow God's plan, we receive his blessings. But when we disobey God's law, we can expect punishment. The third way we teach our children is through the way we walk. Way we walk. Now, James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What does that mean? That means when you're at church, and I'm just using this as an example, at church and the preacher's talking about the words we use that give life and the words we use that lead to death, and we hear that our words should always bring grace, impart grace to the hearer, and that no corrupt words should come out of our mouth. And then when we leave church, our children hear us use a curse word. Are we walking what we are claiming to be? You see, we're to teach them through talking to them, the right talk. We're to train them by the way we lead them and guide them through the Word of God. And then when we get to our walk, we have to understand that our walk means our daily conduct. It doesn't just mean from walking from point A to point B. It means our lifestyle, our daily conduct. How do we teach them? We teach them through our example. We hear the Word of God, but we're to do the Word of God. When we walk in the ways of God, then our children see, because there's an old saying that says, children learn what they hear, but what they see and what they live. Children learn what they live. If you're living a double life with God, don't blame the children when they do. So what does that mean? That means God only has you on weekends. It's called weekend custody. Right? She's not even a full weekend. It's about 2 hours on Sunday. But here's the point. We teach our children by the way we walk. We become doers of the Word, and as we become doers of the Word, little Johnny and little Susie watching. Proverbs 19:18. We've already looked at this verse, but I want to look at it again. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become what? All right, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. What does provoke mean? Y'all ever work with cows, pigs? Try to get them up the chute to get into a trailer. Your mother. What did you do when that old bull wouldn't go? You get that hot shot and you provoke him. He's going to go somewhere, and the only way for him to go is forward, because he can't turn around in that chute, and hopefully can't come out the top of it either, you know. But he's gonna go. He's provoked. He is angry. He is stirred up. He is fighting mad. He has been provoked. How do we provoke our children? Can I make a few observations? When you tell your kid to live a certain way and you're not living it, you're provoked. When you tell your kid that they got to go to church and you don't go. When you say it's a priority, but then you don't go. You see, you're provoking them. You say, well, son, well, here's what always got me. Parents tell you not to do something, they do it themselves. Don't smoke, son. Don't give you cancer. Don't dip snuff, son. Make your teeth fall out. Don't drink, son. You see, you tell him not to do it. God doesn't want you to do that. But it's okay for you and not for me. How does that make sense? You see, you provoke them. You stir them up to anger because you're saying one thing and you're living it a totally different way, and your child's confused because they're saying, how does this make sense? If it's not good for me, then surely it's not good for you. What about this other one? Kids, it's time for y'all to go to bed. There's a movie coming on y'all need to watch. Well, if we don't need to watch it, why are you watching it? Amen? Now, I know that sounds simple, But it's the things in our life that we allow and we say, it's okay for me, but it's not okay for you. And your child's looking at you and say, Mom and Daddy, what, you know, this doesn't make sense. We provoke them when we do not teach them with love and compassion and understanding. Here's the thing. How many of you ever been to a ball game? Football, baseball, softball, whatever kind of ball. Have you ever heard somebody on the sidelines or in the stands and they're saying, get your head in the game. Watch what you're doing. You should have caught that ball. That's the easiest catch in the world. You didn't make it. Now, I'm serious here now. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not. That little boy out there, that little girl may have done their very best. They might have gave 100%. But to hear you tear them down in front of everybody, what does that do to them? What does that do to them? And then they see actions in your life that you claim to be a Christian and your life not backing up by what the Word of God is saying and what they're hearing in church and Sunday school, and your child's left saying, I can't win for nothing. Following God is not for me. Because we need to be honest with our kids. When we've messed up and we've made mistakes, we should admit it to our children. Amen? Because we're teaching them that when we fail, God still loves us. When they fail, we still love them. When they don't measure up to the mark we've set, we still love them. We care for them. We give them compassion, love, grace, and mercy, because that is what God does to us every single day. Leads to the fourth point this morning. And as I said earlier, we'll finish this point up tonight because we just don't have time to finish it up this morning. Proverbs 13:24. You've done all you can do. You've taught all you can talk. You've taught them from an early age. You've walked it out in your life and you're teaching them to walk with you. And they get stubborn, hard-headed, rebellious. They're acting like the other spouse, right? And they're doing all these things, and there comes a point in time they won't listen, they won't hear you, they won't turn from what they're doing, and you can't just let them keep going, because that's not good for them, it's not good for the family, it's not good for relationships, it's not good for anybody. And so then comes a time of discipline. God's going to let you run for a little while. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. God said go. Jonah said no. God sent the storm. And Jonah did what God told him to do, because God put discipline in Jonah's life to turn him around. Now that is the same way with us. When God tells us, he told us in his word, he's been training us since we've been young, he's been walking with us, Jesus has showed us how to live and how to do right, and we say, well, I'm just going to do it my own way. And God says, okay, I told you once. And then he might come back and tell us again through the Holy Spirit, because when we say things we shouldn't say, have you ever noticed there's that little voice that comes off inside of your head as soon as words come out of your mouth that you shouldn't have said? They don't have to be cuss words. They can just be the wrong attitude, right motivation. And we say words to somebody and all of a sudden there's that voice saying, you shouldn't have said that. He's always in my head. How about y'all? Shouldn't think that way. That's called the Holy Spirit. He's doing his job. He's convicting of sin. He's convicting of holiness and righteousness and judgment to come. He's teaching all those things in me and through me. So he's teaching me. He's talking to me. He's doing it from a young age. He's walking with me. He's already walked because he's already lived a perfect life, which I can't. But he's showing me the path to go. But if I keep on refusing and say, no, God, I'm doing it my way. What does God have to do to get our attention? There's a saying that we often have to look straight up when we're flat on our backs. Sometimes God has to bring discipline in our lives. He can do it through finances. He can do it through people. He can do it through situations. He can get our attention however he chooses to do so. But he's going to do it in a way that is not to discourage us from loving him. He's not going to do it so that we are provoked to anger from him. He's going to do it with understanding, with wisdom, with grace, with mercy. He's going to do all those things not to destroy us, right? But he's going to do it to discipline us, to shape us, to mold us, and make us into his image. A father who loves his children can't let them do their own thing. He has to bring discipline from time to time. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod, and I see the world tells you the exact opposite here, don't ever spank your kids. Don't tell them no. You just let them do what they want to do. He who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him when? 5 weeks from now, 5 years from now, 50 years from now. Ephesians 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, listen here, here's that verse again. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. If that is the purpose of our children and giving us godly children, so that our children that we are to train to be godly, right? He desires godly offspring. Then what does God want us to be as his children? He wants us to be godly, right? He wants us to obey. He wants to bring us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and he does so by talking to us, by training us early, by walking with us, but he also does it with discipline in our lives. Now, I said from the beginning, I am not perfect. Just ask Amos, she'll tell you. But I try to do what's right. Listen what Deuteronomy 6 tells us. Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Listen here. "And these words these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall," it doesn't say in your Bible, it says where? Where? How do we get God's word in our heart? We've got to read it, right? "And these words I command you shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them only on Sundays." It says to teach them when? Diligently. That means it's got to be every day. If you didn't teach your kids to brush your teeth every day, you're going to have one stinky house. Amen? "Teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes." See, I left out a part. When you walk by the way or in the way. We're to teach them from the time we get up in the morning. We teach them when we lie down. We teach them as we are walking through this life. The children are watching you. They're watching you to see if what you say is what you believe. Are we living out what God has commanded us to do? Are we teaching our kids to do what is right? You saw them here again, Brother Tim, our kids are grown. I get it. But there's other generations that need help. God never stops being a parent. Because you're a parent, then you're a grandparent, then you're a great grandparent. See, there's always that parent attached to your name. You're always supposed to be leading and guiding and directing your children and your children's children. We are to do that. And maybe today we would just say, you know, Brother Tim, I know I've made mistakes. That's the first step. Admitting. But then we need to come to the Lord and confess those sins and say, Lord, I messed up. I need your help. I need your word. I need your understanding. I need to begin now to do what is right, to lead into God. I can't change the past, but Lord, help me change today and help me change tomorrow and the future. Help me to live for you. Help me to guide my family the way you want me to guide them. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we go into this invitation time, Lord. The most important thing for us today is to know you as our Lord and Savior. So if there is one here today who has never trusted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray today would be the day. Lord, that you would begin to lead them and guide them in ways you would have them to go to teach them, to train them to be more like Christ. Lord, we've all made mistakes, and we'd all have to admit there's been many times we failed through our walk, through our talk, through our leading. Lord, in our families, with our spouses, with those around us. Lord, we can't change the past, but we can allow you to change our today and our tomorrows. So, Lord, I pray that we would just surrender our lives to you. Lord, as a person who's never trusted to begin to trust, but even for us who have believed and maybe have believed for decades, Lord, help us just to say, Lord, I surrender all. I give my life to you. Lord, I give my life for my spouse and my children and my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Lord, I don't know how you're working in this today, but I pray, God, we would respond in a way that brings honor and glory to you, that we would respond in obedience. Lord, I know that we've heard the message. Lord, help us to be doers now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.